This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan. You can always go back on the free Odyssey app and listen to anything that you might have missed. Open up with Tibbs and the Knicks and whether he's on the hot seat with all the crazy stuff that has gone on in the NBA this year with firing coaches late like Mike Malone. You know, Mike Malone is a guy, though. This is another one of those things where, you know, we talk about head coaches and whether or not to fire them, and it's really a lot has to do with who's available at the time. Now, I don't know the relationship with Leon Rose and Mike Malone or Jim Dolan and Mike Malone, but you would imagine, you know, Malone being a New York guy, you know, and his family having ties to the Knicks organization and him having ties to New York and the organization, that that would be something that at least would be an interesting conversation to have if things went haywire in the playoffs for the Knicks, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, like we talked about when Belichick became available with the Giants, it was like, man, you don't want to fire a guy after 2 years or whatever it was, but, I mean, Bill Belichick's out there.
Yeah.
You might have to think about it.
And that, you know, when you go back to the conversation on the Odyssey app that we had at 6 o'clock and the way you started the show with, you know, the idea of Tibbs possibly being on the hot seat, I don't even think possibly. I think a lot of fans would say likely on the hot seat. You know, when you've got a guy out there that's got ties to the Knicks, that has won an NBA title, that has dealt with a superstar in Jokic that we know and handled them quite well, all of a sudden, like, that seat gets hotter because you could see a viable replacement for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the recent success, you know, in winning a title, and I know that it went haywire down there for him, and I'm not sure exactly why. I mean, sometimes just the message just isn't the same. You know, a number of years in, the same guys that are hearing the same stuff. You know, you bring that coach in somewhere else, and that message is different and might resonate with them a little bit better. But I still like Tibbs. This is not a conversation about advocating to fire him,
no.
Especially not knowing what the result is going to be. I just know, especially these days, where there's just so much more pressure and so many owners that are moving on quickly. And I'm sure that Jim Dolan loves Tibbs for being a part of this resurgence. But it's just, it's going to be something if they ever, God forbid, lost in the first round or got swept by the Celtics. And that would be a conversation. And also, I think it might not even be a deal where, you know, they say, hey, Tibbs, you're not doing a good job. You're fired. You know, Leon Rose may say something like, hey, Tibbs, this is not your fault. I put together a team that doesn't fit your style of coaching and I screwed up.
Which I happen to agree with that. And let's also not lose sight in the fact that this team, for, you know, we talked about the last 20 years and, you know, year here, year there, fine. This is back-to-back 50-win seasons. So the notion that, and I've heard this too, and I don't think you're wrong where you can say at some point the message starts to get mixed or maybe it's not heard, and maybe there is some truth to that. But there's also truth to the fact that Jalen Brunson missed 5 weeks. There's truth to the fact that Mitchell Robinson wasn't around for much of the season. There's truth in the fact that they have won 50 games. And, you know, does it suck that in front of them right now are the Bruins, the Celtics, and of course the 60-win Cavaliers? Yes, but they have accomplished something that not many Knick teams have done in a long time. So while the messaging might not be maybe where you want it to be, it also hasn't been lost yet. Not in my mind, anyway.
Yeah, and these guys, you know, you talk about that roommates podcast a lot with Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson and how they had Tibbs on, and there's also been moments where he called them while they were doing the podcast. You can hear him talking to Jalen Brunson and the relationship that they have. I mean, and that's something that you really can't put a price on either. You know, and Jalen's a guy that's probably an easily get along guy, even though he's become a superstar in his own right. But it's just, you want to see it through with Tibbs if you can. But
I'll tell you this: watching that podcast with Dolan, he certainly made it sound as if they are just in the beginning phase of this with Tibbs and this group that they have assembled. It didn't sound like or look like, especially if you want to read facial expressions and the way they were having the conversation, it certainly didn't seem to me at that time that there was even a thought that they're looking for a new coach.
Yeah. I mean, we were going to see a new coach as the other Garden team in the Rangers.
100%.
There's just absolutely no way that Peter Laviolette's coming back.
No question.
And if Torts is C-Mac asked this same question the other day, and it's something we've talked about here briefly, and I never really get a good answer from Boomer on this, but like the NHL head coach gets fired more than anybody else. And also gets rehired more than anybody else.
About as retread a league as you will find.
But, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like you've seen these guys, like a Laviolette, go from one place to another and go win a cup.
Torts?
Yeah, same thing.
Been all over the place.
Right.
Peter DeBoer has been all over the place. In Dallas now, I believe.
Wayne Vigneault.
Yeah.
That's another guy. He's been everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's just, but it's so strange. That it retreads like that. I mean, imagine an NFL coach getting fired.
I mean, in fairness,
six different times and still having a job.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, the Rangers did try to hire, I forget what his name was at the time. Remember they hired the Wolfpack head coach for that 1 or 2 years, and it did not go well. So it's not like they haven't tried thinking outside the box. They have.
Quinn, right?
Was that who it was? Yeah, it might have been. But it didn't work. So you go with what you think is a known commodity, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get the opposite effect. You got people out there saying that the Rangers should bring Tortorella back. I mean, you talk about the conversation we're having right now. There are people that think Torts will be back next year, which would be great for us. Entertainment-wise, it's fantastic. You never know when he's going to pop off, and it's fabulous. But you're right. I mean, how much that message works for a while, and then it becomes noise, and then he rubs people the wrong way, and he's out the door.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that players, if you were in a locker room and you find out that Tortorella's on a short list of coaches being hired, you cross your fingers. You don't want any part of that.
I hear you. I hear you. The one thing I would say, and I've thought about this, whether it's a baseball manager, or an NFL head coach, a college coach, a hockey coach, when you got a guy that clearly knows what he's doing and has won before to some level. At some point, I know the easy answer is, you can't get rid of all the players, we get rid of the coach. Well, why can't you make an example of some of the players from time to time? For instance, and I know we're not in Denver, so I don't know the particulars of this, but just using this as an example, that's all this is. You had a coach in Mike Malone who was able to have that group of players come together, granted one of the best players on the planet, but good enough to win an NBA title. This year, I believe they're 15 games over 500. I know fighting to stay out of the play-in because the West is so good, but they're 15, now 16 games over 500 after winning last night. Why can't you, I think this is deeper than the players, but if the problem was the messaging is not getting through anymore, well, why can't you send one of the guys who's not getting the message anymore? Get him the hell out of here. Because you know the coach knows what he's doing. You know the coach knows what he's doing.
Yeah, if it was that easy sometimes. You know, it's the salary cap implications, finding a team that wants to take him on. What are you getting back? Are you giving up on a particular season? You know, I mean, a lot of these general managers, they make these decisions and they're locked into these contracts.
You're right. Maybe that is the reason for it. But I just feel like then you're chasing your tail trying to find a guy that's going to coach these guys the right way, the way the guy you just fired was doing.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example close to home. You know I'm very close to the Rutgers program, so you know that. The idea that people would want Steve Peichel fired after 3 years ago, they wanted to build a statue for him, nothing has changed in the way he coaches.
Yeah.
So you got to assemble the right guys. And all right, it didn't work this year. Well, next year will be better. But, like, you know he knows what he's doing. You know he can coach. So, like, why are you trying to reset the whole program or in this an NBA team or an NFL team?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you have the young guys. Now, I understand Duke made it to the Final Four, but yet that was a team, as we talked about, looked like boys versus men. Correct. When they ended up losing. And then you have, of course, Rutgers having a down year with the two best young guys on the same team.
Sure.
You know, other than Cooper Flagg. Like, you wonder if that, like, the winning formula isn't getting the best high school kid any longer. You
well,
know?
I mean, you listen to Pitino, he's not recruiting them anymore because it's become more of a professional men's type of game. And that's why the transfer portal has become so important. The problem is, as you know, is the money is now an issue. It's not just about recruiting and developing because no one stays anymore. The whole college game has changed. My only point was, you know, you got a guy that knows how to coach and knows what he's doing. Like, why do you want to all of a sudden start over?
888-808-1019. If you want to join the show, we'll get some calls in here. Anthony in East Meadow. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say big fan. I never really call in. Nobody really wants to hear my sports takes, but you guys are awesome. You guys make me laugh all the time. It sounds like I'm just listening to me and my dopey friends talk about whatever you guys talk about.
Well, thanks, Anthony.
But, yeah, this whole OnlyFans conversation, I had to call it because especially when I heard CeeLo asking, like, oh, how do these girls deal with all, you know, all these different services and stuff that they got to juggle? So one of my good buddies, he lives in Miami. He's an agent for OnlyFans models.
Wow.
And they don't really do much, the girls themselves, except, you know, so he basically sets time aside for all of them to shoot content, which is just take naked pictures of themselves or in bikinis or whatever the hell. And he has all of them on his phone along with all their accounts. And he'll go on all their accounts and post stuff throughout the day and stuff. And when these creepy old guys want to have, like, the interactions and stuff and, like,
talk to them. Don't tell me they're having it with him.
Yeah, they're talking to him.
Oh,
they're not talking to him.
You think these
girls are sitting on their couch in their $75,000 a month house and talking to a bunch of guys?
Anthony, I did. Yes,
yeah, I
did.
I just figured for that amount of money, yes, it was there.
No, they're talking to some 26-year-old kid like me that's getting paid by them to do it for
them.
That's
terrible.
Wow.
And it's the best job in the world. I mean, you look at his camera roll and it's just a bunch of models naked.
Yeah, I'm sure that is definitely a perk. But at the same time, you got to sit there and talk dirty to some guy named Fred. I mean, that doesn't sound so great.
That's a good point.
For $75,000 a month, I'll talk dirty to Fred.
Yeah, exactly. But
wow.
Yeah, so it's not exactly as it seems from the outside.
Now, your friend is young. He's 26. He's not a married guy at this point, I'm assuming?
No, definitely not.
Wow. I mean, and
living the life.
and he makes, you know, he's making a killing because he's, as you guys mentioned, the girls are making a ton of money and he gets a nice chunk out of every girl that works for his agency.
You know, it's interesting, Anthony, you bring that up because when I was in Vegas with Rutgers for the Thanksgiving week tournament, whatever it was, I forget what it was called, the Players Era tournament, I played golf with my son and they paired us up with a guy who, you know, it was just the middle of the day on like a Monday we played out there. And, you know, it comes around to, what do you do? I do this. What do you do? And his son did digital content for OnlyFans. And he was almost embarrassed to say it, but I'm like, whatever. He goes, you have no idea how much money. And his son, I think, was 19. He goes, he's made more money the last 2 years than I've made the last 30.
Yeah, I actually also have a girl that I grew up with that became an OnlyFans model, and she moved to Miami, too, and she's loaded. It's, like, the most absurd thing ever. Like, she literally makes, like, $100,000 a month.
Wow. You can be honest if you want. I mean, I'd like you to be honest, but does your friend send you these things for free so you can take a look at it without subscribing?
Well, since you told me to be honest, and I always am, I actually think that she's not very good looking, and I still question to this day how she makes so much money posting all these things.
That's amazing.
She couldn't pay me to look at that. So.
Well, there's a lot of guys that are, or girls.
Oh, my goodness. Anthony, a very funny phone call. It's too bad you don't call more often because you were definitely a good caller. I mean, wow. Oh, my God. I mean, if there was anybody listening to us that was thinking about
joining while we were having this conversation, not to do the content, but to be someone who looks at the content. Once they heard that there's a man behind there communicating with you.
Are your peaches fuzzy?
That definitely drove him away.
Fred.
Well,
oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know. It is. I mean, your imagination is still the best weapon.
How's your Donkey Kong?
So,
Jerry's out there in the newsroom, can't get his attention. Sitting there sexting these old guys.
Did you think about me last night? What do you think about this big fat ass, huh?
Oh, boy.
God.
Yeah. No, that's the world we're living in now. $100,000. And he said not all that attractive. $100,000 a month.
That is just wild.
Yeah.
God.
Sure is.
I mean, like, isn't... But if ugly people are getting $100,000 a month, you know, at some point, this like, it's got to get oversaturated at some point, right?
Well, I just gave you eight girls splitting $15 million a month. $15
million. I mean
just think.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. That's $180 million a year for eight girls.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, I cannot wrap my mind around this.
Yeah. I mean, they're each making $25 million a year.
Let's go to Alex in West Orange. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, what's going on? I have a random question. I was thinking about this because I keep getting hit with these ads on Instagram still.
Yeah.
Did you ever get magnetic nose strip thing? Did that ever come?
Yeah. It did. And I ended up using it for a couple of nights. I didn't feel like it was making that much of a difference. I know people who have like restricted airways in their nostrils really love it. I don't, it didn't help with snoring at all, which I thought it would help with snoring. And also like I like admittedly have a more of an oily skin, and the stuff wasn't staying on all night. So like I would wake up and the thing would just be off of my nose. It would slide off of my face. So I was like, this isn't really worth it. So it wasn't worth it for me. People do rave about it. The next thing I'm going to do is this hostage tape on my mouth. What? Yeah, hostage tape.
Oh,
what does
that
even mean?
You should do one of those. You should do one of those morning routine things that everybody's doing. Except you, what do you wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning or something?
Yeah, 3:25.
I'm really confused. Wait, you tape your mouth shut to sleep?
Yeah, and thanks, Alex. Yeah, that's so. It's something that, of course, Joe Rogan is doing, and then so
it's to stop snoring.
Yeah, and just to breathe better during the night, I guess, because it's better to breathe through your nose. So it's a piece of very, you know, sticky tape that you put on your mouth, and they call it hostage tape because obviously, well, I don't need to explain that.
You're
going to
come in with half a mustache.
Yeah, right. And then it's supposed to help you, yeah.
But aren't you going to rip your hair off your upper lip?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it would be that bad.
The tape must work some way that it sticks to your mouth but doesn't rip your face off when you take it off. That's my guess, right?
Yeah, or maybe like you wet it when you're trying to take it off. It helps it a little bit. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I was going to give that a whirl.
Let me know how that goes. That seems odd, but okay.
Did you see the golfer that taped his mouth shut?
No.
Yeah, there's a guy on the DP World Tour. You saw this, Eddie? Taped his mouth shut because he gets so angry at himself on the course.
While he was playing?
Yeah, and it's scotch tape, which is hilarious. So he's out there playing with scotch tape all over his face because he was sick of, you know.
Come on.
Yelling at himself. Yeah, Corn Ferry.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, there he is, Corn Ferry guy. Yeah, it wasn't DP.
Ryan McCormick.
Yeah, look at him.
Okay. That's a new one.
Wasn't like a gag to get attention. Like, he had problems screaming at himself, wow. So he figured I'd just tape my mouth shut.
All right.
With scotch tape.
I think I'm going to pass on that, but okay.
This says it's beard-friendly right on the site.
That's fascinating. So it will stick to your skin and your lips, but it will not rip the hair off your lip.
We got to get Merc and Dante on these people.
You know what? And have him wear it just for the rest of his life.
That's a win-win.
Can't hear you, Merc. Sorry, man. Gonna have to write it down.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. There's Phil out there on Masters on the Range. My guy.
He's up. He's off in 30 minutes.
Yeah, that is great. Can't wait. If I could watch that on my drive home, I would.
I will tell you, I see a lot of guys have their phones up on the mirror with the soccer games on, so you could probably put it on if you wanted.
Well, no, but there is a adapter or converter that will put it up on the screen of your car.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like I've seen it now on the like the console screens for
sure. Wow. I mean, and yeah,
that's not distracting.
And I have a friend who does it, and he's like, yeah, it's the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, well, yeah, until you don't have a head.
I'm pretty sure the Tesla is like straight up. You can just stream stuff on those screens, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not when it's moving. I don't have one, but I know from people that I watched the full show in the car or whatever.
But they also have the self-driving feature.
Yes, some you got to pay extra for the full self-drive. It's like an extra $8,000, I think, or it used to be probably more now.
Just start an OnlyFans account, you'll be fine.
That's something I should get a self-driving Tesla. That would help my commute out massively.
Just make sure no one sets it on fire.
Yeah, that's right.
Or vandalizes it.
Right, exactly.
Good point.
I buy that, and then all of a sudden there's just a turd on the hood.
Well, turd on the hood is, that's no problem. When they start keying it,
yeah,
you know, setting it on fire, that's when it becomes a problem.
I saw one in a parking lot this past weekend, and it had magnets on it that said, I bought this before Elon went crazy. Well, then sell it, loser. Well, shut your face.
You should get a magnet that says, well, sell it, loser, and just slap it right on there.
I bought a long time ago stickers that you know, when the Al Dukes poops naked?
Yeah.
Stickers went around town.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, there was another, like 2 summers later, it was a resurgence of them. So I had stickers made that said, fake news said. And I was going to put them, and then they never came back.
Uh-huh.
So I could use those.
So you have a whole stack of them?
Yeah, I have a stack of fake news sad stickers.
Slap it right on. Probably sell those things.
Collecting dust.
You surprised?
Oh, man. All right, CeeLo, what's going on, brother?
All right, brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real close for real life. We did Mets and Yankees earlier today. Quite honestly, the audio is just not that great to play anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, day games, they're both off today. They'll resume tomorrow. The Mets in Sacramento against the A's. The Yankees are back home to take on the Giants. You have the Knicks and the Pistons tonight in Detroit, but it's the front end, I should say, of a back-to-back for the Knicks. If you asked me to replicate that sound right now, I could not. Anyway, they've got the Cavs tomorrow night at home. So this one against Detroit, a little bit of a warm up. You got no OG, no Josh Hart, no Mitchell Robinson. They are too clear of the Pacers for fourth place in the East with just a couple of games to go in the regular season. Also the Hawks and the Nets from Brooklyn, coverage 720 here on the Fan. All right. So speaking of the Knicks, you and Boomer yesterday, to some extent, I feel like subscribe to the theory of a little bit of optimism and hope coming out of the overtime loss to the Celtics.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, you love yourself some Adam Schein.
Yes.
And we do play his audio frequently. We went the other way on his radio show yesterday, and without knowing about you guys specifically, maybe we even went as far as to kind of call you out a little bit.
The damn Knicks. The damn Knicks. And I don't want to hear, and I was seeing this on Twitter, I was seeing this in certain media quarters, I don't want to hear that a close loss gave the Knicks hope. That is perhaps the dumbest, worst take that you could have if you watch that game.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he guy does a solo show, and sometimes he's got to have the contrarian take going, and I don't really, I don't believe it's a dumb take.
Obviously.
But he's allowed to have that opinion, and I don't get worked up over things like that.
No, I know that.
No, but it's C-Mac. I've had a similar take to Adam Schein, which is that he felt worse about it because even when they played well, they still lost.
Right.
But yeah, he goes on to say more.
Just one more little part to
oh,
it.
Oh, Adam, we were close.
Oh, Adam.
Close. What is this, horseshoes? You get bonus points? Close? What is this, cornhole? I mean, are you kidding me?
And then you get there, oh, they're going to hang a banner with it in the garden. Well, they did hang a banner for the Rangers being the regular season champions last year.
Yeah,
so
embarrassing.
It's not above them over there at the garden.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a real response in it, I mean, we did talk about it yesterday because we talked about the other side of it, too, which is that, you know, how frustrating is it that even when you're doing the best you can and you play a decent game and you're healthy, you're still losing to this team and Porzingis is still draining threes on you and Jason Tatum is still doing the superstar stuff. But, I mean, really, they were getting blown out and this game was just, you know, if Jason Tatum misses that shot, and I understand he made it,
yeah,
and this is one of those things where, you know, aunt balls, uncle thing. But really, I mean, we're talking about a superstar play at the end of the game where OG Anunoby could have very easily fouled and did not. Then we're talking about, hey, they did it. Hard fought game and they won, right? Is that something we'd be talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So it was encouraging. It's obviously we're not hanging a banner, but you're looking for something. You're looking for some positivity. I feel like they gave it to you.
Okay. I'm going to go in a different direction than I planned here only because CBS Sports Network just had Jason Day up on the screen. He's been asked to kind of tone it down a little with his
clothes?
Attire.
Yeah.
First of all, did you see Cameron Smith wearing a full blazer?
Yeah.
Did you reference that already?
Yeah, no, I didn't. We talked about it yesterday, but I don't understand the point of that.
For whatever outfitter.
Yeah, but
has
it doesn't have the name. It didn't have the name on it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see what he shows
like
up in today.
When Jason Day wears Malbon, it's a giant Malbon, it says,
sure,
all over it.
Yes. Well, anyway, I'm really disappointed there wasn't audio of this because, you know, they do the pre-tournament press conferences with a lot of the guys. And the Masters page has a lot of the big names. Jason Day not included, but I guess there was transcripts that went out. So this actually took a couple days for people to get wind of. Did you see this yesterday? Do you know where I'm going?
No, I mean, I know that he was told. Like,
having nothing to do with his outfit.
All right,
now. He's Australian, of course. Right, yeah. So they were asking about Minwoo Lee, fellow Aussie player.
Mm-hmm, right.
And this was the sequence with the reporter, I guess, was a British reporter. So the question was in regards to Minwoo Lee to Jason Day. He talked about the grind a lot last week. You talked about work ethic. Do you think the penny dropped? Do you think that's the next step? And Day said, do I think what? And the reporter responded and repeated, the penny is dropped. And Jason Day said, did you say panties? And the reporter said, the penny, okay? And Day said, oh, fair enough. No, you're good. I don't drop many pennies out there, mate. Now, I saw this in a Golf Digest write-up, Gio, and I'm going to now circle back to why I'm bringing this to your attention. I thought you especially would like this line after that exchange in the Golf Digest write-up. Classic mix-up. Bet you didn't have that on your pre-masters bingo card. Yeah, there you go,
pal.
Here
we are again with the bingo card. My Lord. What does the penny drop mean?
I don't know. I've never heard of that reference before.
Meaning you got it.
Eddie has.
Yeah. The revelation. You understand now. Oh, yes. I get it.
Google says the penny dropped is an informal British phrase used to indicate that someone has, as Eddie said, finally realized or understood something.
A new one for me.
Lost in translation.
Saying, mate? Did my penny drop? What? You want to see my giblets? Is that what you're saying? It's a little bit weird, no?
Only would have been better if Day said, I didn't have that on my bingo card in the Australian accent, and I could have played it for you. Yeah. And the other thing was the food reviews I know you're down on as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Michael Kay has gone all in this chicken tenders thing.
Yeah, I know.
And it's not even just that with copying
Dave Portnoy.
He's even like tweeting similar. Did you see this yesterday?
I did not.
Emergency tender post. You know how he does the emergency, you know, press conference thing?
Maybe it's a Yankee broadcaster thing to like rip off popular.
But like, is he doing it tongue in cheek? Or does
it's like we got Dave Sims and Hey Now. We got Michael Kay and Dave Portnoy.
Very strange.
I mean,
I wanted money.
And Susan going to start singing Taylor Swift songs during the broadcast.
Oh, that would be tough to take. One baseball thing for you. We played the end of the White Sox Guardians game with our guy Mike Tauchman blowing the hammy going around third base. This was another weird one sort of in that area between third and home plate from yesterday's Pirates Cardinals game. It was an afternoon game in Pittsburgh. This is Pittsburgh. Is it Greg Brown? Is that your guy from Pittsburgh?
Yes. Yeah. Love
so
Greg
Brown.
There
he is on the call, and then I'll kind of explain after you hear the call.
Popped it up. Bart didn't know where it was initially. It still doesn't. So, Andy Rodriguez, oh my! A big-time collision.
He's out
at the plate because of the heads-up play by Hayes, but that was a big-time collision.
All right, so this was top of the eighth, first and second two outs pop up between the catcher and the pitcher. So guys are running on contact, but jogging. Hey, it's a pop-up. Inning's going to be over. Catcher and I think the first baseman, legit collision, and you kind of hear the players in the background there. The guy who rounds third gets distracted, and then he's got to kind of tap dance around the players that collided that are laying on the ground. Key Brian Hayes, the third baseman, picks up the ball, tags him out before he reaches home plate to get out of the inning.
Gets distracted by what?
By the two humans laying in his way.
Yeah, he had to go around them.
He did.
All right.
But it was also like, whoa, these guys, you can hear the collision.
But the third baseman had to come in past them.
Yes.
Wow. Grab the ball, then come back and tag him.
Yeah.
All right. I got confused there, but wow. That's
interesting way to end an inning.
Yeah, I mean, that's never happened before.
Kept the game scoreless, and they didn't score a run between the two teams for 11 innings. Then they traded a run in the 12th to continue the game. Alan would have hung himself. And the Pirates ended up winning on a walk-off 2-1.
So raise the Jolly Roger.
Some weird plays happening yesterday in baseball. Not so weird, but more so typical of the way their season has gone. Another dreadful performance by the Rangers on home ice last night as they just completely ruined the Sam Rosen, John Davidson reunion.
This whole season has ruined Sam Rosen's year, let alone last
Sam Rosen,
night with
but
JD.
Now it's like, all right, we get JD, TNT throws him a bone. You know, God forbid MSG did that. They let them do the broadcast, Rangers Flyers, and that didn't go so well.
Final seconds of the game for the Rangers. The disappointment continues. Their tragic number, if you will be down to one. Montreal needs 1 point, and they have clinched a playoff spot.
Montreal's going to get in. It's pretty simple. They've turned up the juice. They've done everything right. And for the Flyers, good on them playing hard like this. For the Rangers, it's tough.
You wouldn't have had Davidson complimenting the Flyers and basically having a, you know, criticized the Rangers coming into that game last night, just a couple of weeks ago when they announced this. Bad scene at 8-5. Now, a couple empty netters, but they did give up 6 in the third period. And every time they scored to get back into it, they'd give one up.
Jeez.
And round they go.
Yeah, you know, I understand where Rice coming from with the Sam thing and how it sucks, but at the same time, it's like, this doesn't change anything about his career. Like,
no,
I feel like
every
time we're bringing it up now, it's prefaced with, oh, this sucks for Sam. It sucks for him
personally, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
more
Boomer.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's fine. But I just feel like Sam's probably mildly disappointed, but at the same time, he's having these unbelievable interactions day in and day out with people he's not going to see again in a professional atmosphere, places he's not going to go anymore.
Sure.
You know, it's like, yeah, all right, the team sucked this year, but that doesn't take away from Sam's wonderful career and what's happening.
I think it's because it was a surprise, right? Compared to where they were last year.
And where they were in the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
too.
And even though it was a little fool's gold, but you didn't expect, not even just, look, they're on the, it's not like they're in dead last. It's just the brand of hockey, the way they, you know, they give up goals early, give up goals late. They score a goal, they give one up. The power play has been dreadful. Do you know that they've actually been outscored on the power play in the last month?
Yeah, I did know that, yes.
But like, think about that. They have given up more shorthanded goals than they have power play goals for a month.
We sit next to Boomer, trust me.
All right.
He certainly yelled about it enough.
I will move on. I'll give you one more thing, and then I will stop boring you with Ranger stuff. Early in the game, Zibanejad gets a penalty shot last night. Not only did he not score, he missed the net. I did not realize this. They have not scored a penalty shot goal, the Rangers, in almost a decade. December of 2015, they are
really
for their last 11 on in-game penalty shot attempts.
Wow.
How is that even possible?
Yeah, that it's not.
I mean,
I
read
that
four
crazy
times last night. I was like, that has to be fake news, but it
right
was not.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're not used to a shootout either. I mean, it's the same exact thing. It's not like they're not.
Dreadful.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a weird one, man.
And you had Adam Fox talking about confusion on defense in their own zone and how it's a repetitive problem. And Laviolette was just like, yeah, there's no confusion. There's just blown assignments. So
yeah,
you got the coach, he's done.
Well, of course. I think we've known he's been done for a while now. I think it's that Four Nations tournament, man. Sucked the life out of him.
I suppose. In any event, let's get to moment of the day, which is much more fun and uplifting. Started with the Deshaun Watson audio, actually, and Gio calling him a slime ball. And that led to a thought on Watson and Justin Tucker with the masseuses and the sexual assault allegations, which reminded you of another thing that you just don't understand. And along the way, Jerry also told us about a group of women who have been capitalizing on their OnlyFans page and making millions of dollars. So we had some fun with all of that earlier this morning.
That in the penis picture thing. What is with these guys?
I heard all that the other day. Yeah.
Like,
you ever take a picture of yours?
No,
none of us have.
Not unless I was asked to.
Oh, has someone asked you to?
No, I'm just saying, like,
that was a weird answer.
Somebody, no.
Dog?
You guys were just you guys were discussing dog. What? What am I missing there?
What was that?
I don't know. I just was being funny. I don't know.
And that came out of left field.
No.
Where's Cox?
These six or seven girls are just raking in the cash living in Miami.
Sorry, I'm mesmerized by how good Fred Couples' swing still is, Masters.
Yeah,
I'd
pay for that OnlyFans. Him
right
just swinging in his underwear?
Yes, I'm in leather pants, spanking myself. Who's been a bad boy? I have.
Al in a black leather thong, whipping myself.
Work away!
God.
But then again, it's one of those things like, maybe you don't know what you're missing type of thing, too.
Maybe.
Like someone's like, I don't understand. We're going to see what's going on. And all of a sudden, you're like stuck in this world. And you're like, bye. You know, and you got some nickname in there that's like not you. You're like, ah! And then you're out on the street. Someone takes your phone away from you and you're jonesing for it.
There's
you
Geo 69.
Your fingernails off.
I need to see ass cheeks.
There you go, fellas.
Yeah, that was the start and finish to that one.
The whole segment was OnlyFans, so I cut it down as best I could.
I didn't realize, too, looking at it a little bit, there are people that just are on there doing daily tasks that have accounts.
Like non-sexual stuff.
Yeah, I actually just assumed it was all.
Was that Wally Zerbia?
That's an even weirder one that people are going to pay for that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's one very attractive girl. She just goes from island to island and kind of, all right, that's interesting, I guess. But then there's like a couple that just talks about their
Daily Live?
My kids love to watch other people playing video games on YouTube.
Oh, I know.
That I don't get, and that's free. The concept of paying for someone else's day-to-day.
I could almost guarantee that OnlyFans just put those up there so that guys could have excuses as to why they have
maybe
the OnlyFans account.
Click away quickly.
And be like, listen, I'm just on there because I watch this guy build birdhouses. That's it. I don't know what you think I'm doing, but this guy, and I want to get into woodworking. That's what it is.
Cover pages like it.
That's probably why. You know, just some guy is getting paid by OnlyFans.
And this girl, Sophie Rain, is that her name?
Yes, the one who's the virgin Christian who makes $43 million
a year.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
$43 million.
She doesn't even take her
non-sexual?
No, she does take. I think she does. It says nudes.
Really?
I
thought the article I read, she was not taking her clothes off.
She's a Christian virgin, she says, and will not do that.
Come on.
I'm just telling you what her
I'm not doubting you. But
on her site,
I'm a Christian virgin, but hey, take a look. Here you go.
What can I tell you?
I'm not criticizing you.
Hey, look at
you.
My breasts.
Yeah, right. I'm saying for her to sell herself as a Christian virgin is, you know. It's a bit much.
Well, she thanked God for her $43 million in the latest article.
I would hope so.
I mean, that Google search there is a little dangerous, Jerry.
I'm not clicking on anything.
This is Boomer's seat, to be fair. So.
Just, by the way, think about what you were doing before the show, Jerry, and what you're doing now.
What's this now?
Think about what you were doing before the show.
Distracted.
Oh, okay.
Fully new content available.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this might be one of those things you pay extra. Yeah.
That's how she gets the $43 million a year.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, I got you now, yes. A little different.
Yeah, a little different.
A little different.
All right, CeeLo, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We talk all the time about, like, the patrons at these golf tournaments that just line up the tee box and are just asking to get hit. And then, you know, they line up the tee box with people who are like ceremonial as well. And there's a famous clip from the 80s where there's a woman who's trying to tee off from like some ceremonial golf tournament and she hits the same group of people twice in a row.
You're kidding.
So she hits them and then this woman goes down and then she re-tees and does it again and hits in the same group of people. And then you just hear someone in the background go, "Stop doing that!" Well, it's amazing.
That is pretty funny.
But I forget who it was. I got to go back and figure it out at some point. But I just heard a story of one guy, was his first Masters, you know, and he hits a ball left, hits somebody, hits another ball, it goes right, hits his first two shots in the Masters he hit people with.
And his name was Tiger Woods.
No,
I know.
I mean, crazy. I would go home and cry.
It's the one thing. I wonder how long it takes these guys. They're amazing at what they do. But as you're coming through the ranks and you know you're really good as a collegiate golfer with not many people out there watching you, I wonder what like that first pro tournament is like when you tee it up. Because we've seen guys on the Full Swing documentary say how they are nervous going to the tee at the whole first hole at a major. And guys that have played in professional events, what a college kid that, you know, gets some sort of an invite or plays in his first professional event where the tee box is lined up, if that goes through their head. It has to, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, of course. But you know what's even more fascinating to me? Because, like, you're not going to hit somebody that's right there next to you when you're a professional golfer. But these guys that are so good, they're so amazing, they just warmed up on the range, and they get up there, and, I mean, the best in the world. And they can't hit the fairway.
Agreed. I know.
That first shot.
There's no question.
It's way to, you know, 30 yards left.
I know. Well, Phil on 18, was it Wingfoot in the U.S. Open?
Yeah, of course. I know.
I mean, all he had to do was take a 3-wood, put it in the fairway. He takes driver and hits it off the 10th, for God's sakes.
Greg Chalmers in 2001. Is that the guy who did the...
I think so. I saw a tweet of his, after I Googled it, that he posted about his first time at the Masters last year. Around this time, he posted it, how he drilled somebody and then was so nervous and drilled somebody on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening. It gets in your head.
Yeah, and I think he said also in that interview that he's the reason why people aren't allowed to line up on the left side of the fairway now, because that person got so...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hit him in the head. Like, they're allowed, but it's like they're on the other side of the trees.
Interesting.
Yeah, because he hit that person so hard in the head.
Wow.
And he said when he got up there, he's like, this is going to be more than a signed glove.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, that's no joke, man. But I remember at the Travelers last summer, after our show was over, me and my son walked the course for about 2-3 hours, actually. We were there until about 1 o'clock. And it blows me away. All right, you see a pro of name value. You see Scottie Scheffler. You don't think anything of it. But when you see some of these guys you've never heard of and how people are literally, 30, 40 feet right on the left side of them, they are so – it doesn't take much to pull hook a ball right into your teeth. Honestly.
Yeah.
And the confidence we have in them, like no one – and I always come back to it. Tiger Woods, I think it was in Los Angeles 2 years ago where his back went out on him mid-swing and he hit the ball sideways right over the head of the fans.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about how baseball put up all the nets and stuff. You're never going to see that in golf. But I would be head on a swivel at these things like you wouldn't believe. A lot of these guys, too, they don't even realize that the ball's coming at them.
Correct.
Like, if you're going to sit there, you got to know someone's on the tee box, for God's sake.
So now that comes back to being a fan at a golf event that I find very difficult because the practice rounds, like I said, are amazing. One of the best days I ever had sports-wise or, in terms of watching golf live was when we were in Phoenix for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I took my other son to the Pro-Am of the Waste Management. And that place is so wide open and a great course to walk. And just following J.J. Watt around for a couple of holes. All right, you don't want to follow him, go follow this guy. You don't want to follow him, go follow this guy. And it's a blast. What you're talking about is guys that just set up in the fairway of a hole. You don't know who's coming down. Unless you could have the pairing chart with you so you can figure it out. But it's like you're just sitting there and, here comes the ball. Doink, doink, doink. Like, what are you watching exactly?
I know. There was one volunteer in one of the tournaments earlier this year who got hit and knocked over by he didn't realize it until the last second. It was like one of those things where he's just sitting there. He probably saw 50,000 tee shots at that point, but he's just sitting there and all of a sudden he looks up and tries to get out of the way, stands up, hits it, and falls over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they gave that guy like a bunch of stuff and they took care of him and he was all right.
Lucky he was all right.
I know. See, like if a Here's one for you, because my mind has to work this way. Let's say first tee time of the day, one of these guys, Hazel Rocket,
sure,
kills somebody.
Oh, boy.
They play the rest of the tournament?
Yeah.
They just keep going?
I think they probably do. I think there's a delay, and ultimately they get started a couple hours later, yeah. I mean, were you canceling the tournament?
Or maybe like that day and then like you push it back?
I think you have a little bit of a delay for a couple of hours, but sadly, I think yes. There's just, as we know, this whole life and world is about money. So there's too much money on the line.
Yeah.
There's no way they're canceling the tournament. You go back to the pandemic when they were canceling events. There were fights not to cancel those college basketball tournaments. And it wasn't because of health and safety. It was because of the money that was on the line.
Yeah.
In this case, as sad as that would be, the reality of it is they would delay it a little bit and they would play the tournament.
Yeah. And they'd make sure that video was done, like gone. Hopefully it didn't go anywhere.
That would be so. I'm telling you, the most amazing photo I have ever seen was the cover of Sports Illustrated, Tiger Woods. I don't know. I want to say it was the 2000 or 2001, I forget. Maybe it was 2001 Masters, I forget. And they had the overhead shot of him lined up. And it wasn't just, them lining up the tee box. It was the entire tee box. And the tees are all the way back. It had to have been 30 yards on either side. And they're 10, 15, 20 deep. And you're talking about hitting the ball on a bowling alley. And it's like, man, and now we know how fast that ball's coming off the club.
Oh, yeah.
That thing is like a bullet.
Yeah, 180 miles an hour.
God, it is something, man. But that's how precise they are.
So let's say guy T-ball kills somebody. Does that golfer withdraw?
Now, that's a different issue. I don't know that I'd be able to play. I think that's very possible, yes.
He's like, hey, remember I killed that guy on one?
You know who wouldn't? Angel Cabrera.
Oh, yeah. He'd be like, I've done way worse than that. I'm good.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.